Welcome to the audio podcast of The Table,
a new United Methodist community of faith taking shape at Central UMC in Sacramento, California.
The podcast currently features the messages of Matt Smith and Linda Duhirsu,
with a musical introduction by Anthony Coleman, our director of music.
Thanks for listening. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I'm bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace among those whom God favors." When the angels had left them and gone into the heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste, found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them.
We arrive this morning in the final Sunday of our Advent series, and we've been trying on different roles each week. So we began 4 weeks ago, and as we walk in, we hope that folks recognize that we're playing with images of the theater and of the stage, and we're wondering about in what parts of our lives are we trying on these roles, and how do these roles just try us on at other times? And what do we do with that? How are we called to be and to really live and inhabit this story? We started with John the Baptist, the call boy, the one who goes in front of everybody to say, "Now is your time." And then we looked together at Mary, and we wondered about what is it like to be the lead actor in God's story. And we were given a simple phrase that Mary used, "Here I am." And then we wondered last week, what's it like to support that person as they say, "Here I am"? And Joseph did it quietly. What might it look like in your life to support someone who's saying, "Yes, here I am," to the divine? Today we're going to look at the story of the extras. At least that's what we're calling them, the shepherds and the angels. Certainly every Christmas Eve when folks gather and the kids get together, this is kind of an extra role, right? We put the little kids in a sheep costume and we have them run up, and then we have the shepherds go next to them, and the angels might be a little bit older, but we really don't put a whole lot of stock in what they're going to do in that space, right? It's kind of a playful openness, and extras have that way in theater of moving behind the scenes, and they're important, even critical at moments. But we don't always pay attention to what they're doing unless we're their parents. And then we worry a lot. I'm learning that as a dad. We're going to look next week. Lots of folks don't know that the Magi that we often include in the Christmas story, they really come pretty late. And so we're going to honor their coming late to the celebration by moving into their story on Christmas Day. And then we're going to tell a story about Simeon and Anna. And I know for some folks that grew up reading scripture all the time, you know exactly who I'm talking about. But for many of us, Simeon and who? We're going to talk about that on January 1st, so I hope that'll be enough to help you want to come on January 1st, because we'll just figure out, for some of us, who are these two folks, Simeon and Anna, and what are their roles in this story? But we begin today with the shepherds, and just as we have in previous weeks, we're going to start by looking at some images of shepherds, so I hope one will appear here on our screen. And we'll look together at this image. We're starting with Rembrandt, as we've shown many of his pieces of work. And you see in this a pretty common image of the angels appearing to the shepherds. It's easy for me to call Rembrandt common, right? Oops. Folks have followed in this line to show images of the shepherds in this way. And oftentimes you see how small the shepherds are. And the angels are almost floating up at the top. The light that is bursting is the word that I would use there. It evokes an image of almost chaos to me, an uncertainty, mystery that might point to, certainly the unknown. Here's another version of this same image that's by William Blake. And you see the angels up high again in this really phenomenal kind of modern dance pose. Huh, Nicole? Could we agree at that? Yeah. And then what I'm drawn to is you see the stable, almost a house in the background in the very middle. But the shepherds, when you look at them, they look more like professors who are out in a field gathered around a huge book than they actually do look like shepherds to me. I don't know much about shepherds, but I don't think this is what shepherds wear when they go out to work with sheep. And there are women shepherds over on the left side and men over on the right side, and they all just look so pristine to me. And then here's one more image of the shepherds from a century later, and we used this in worship last year as we were just getting started worshiping together. Angels Appearing Before the Shepherds by Henry Osawa Tanner. This one is stunning to me in the colors that it uses. And again, we see the angels with wings up high and the shepherds tiny down in that bottom right corner. It's kind of amazing how the artwork echoes the artwork of previous centuries to me, that the same story depicted in a very similar way to what we saw from Rembrandt with very different colors. And a final one, we'll move into this century with one of our favorite artists in this day, Daniel Bonnell. And here you see the angels in a totally phenomenal, wondrous depiction. And so many more sheep this time. We never saw the sheep in most of the other images that we looked at. But here the sheep are in the foreground and the shepherds are in the background. That's just how it is in a lot of these stories. The shepherds are in the background. I want to remind us that this story of the shepherds and the angels, it only comes to us one time in the entire New Testament. So only in the Gospel of Luke will we find this story. And it's a very simple story about how God comes to announce good news to folks at Jesus' birth. So I want to address a question, because I know at least some folks among us will be hung up potentially on this whole notion of angels, because we just saw a lot of images of angels flying, floating around. That's how it mostly is depicted in a lot of the artwork. The Greek word and the Hebrew word that gets translated as angel means literally messenger. And most often what we see in the Bible, in both the Hebrew Bible and in the New Testament, we see an angel coming as a stranger. So we can kind of, some of us, that'll give us some space to breathe for a moment. And for others, if we're going to take on that role this week, we won't have to put on wings. We can just show up as ourselves and be a stranger to someone else. That's what it meant in its biblical context, as it appeared over and over again. And I have an idyllic image of shepherds. I studied in Northern Ireland for a semester when I was in college, and I kind of think of those green pastures with stone walls, shepherds walking around, very idyllic image of what this could look like. So everything about that is not accurate biblically in terms of what a shepherd was. Okay, so we're going to try to let go of that image. Because the shepherds in Jesus' day, they were the folks who had no land, and they worked all the time with dirty animals out in fields, your fields. They walked their sheep around on your land, right? So these are folks that you probably wanted to shoo away from you. You can imagine, these are not the people you wanted to have over for a meal. They were working with the animals. You wanted to stay far, far away from these folks. I think about it like this. I'm more attentive to this as we walk our neighborhood with Eleanor. We see little signs every once in a while about keep your dog off of our front yard. And what I imagine back in a day is we get that upset about dogs today. Imagine like shepherds coming through with all their sheep. You would want an enormous sign, keep your sheep off of this land. This is the way I think a lot of those shepherds would have been treated. They were not welcomed by most anyone. They are avoided by everyone. So in part, when we describe the shepherds and the angels as extras in this story, what we're talking about is the way that the shepherds were made extras by the folks in power around them. They were pushed to the edge by dominant culture. They were extras in the story of their time. I want to invite us then to take a closer look at some of the words that they use. If we're going to inhabit these characters, we're going to have to learn to speak a little bit like these shepherds. And so here's how I imagine some of the story happening. There are a few shepherds, they're with their sheep, and they're on the night shift. See, they're working overnight so that everyone else in town can wake up and not have to worry about it. So they're working when no one else wants to be working. They're up at night, and all of a sudden, something happens. A stranger comes, someone they don't know. So I suspect that they were on guard. That was their job in the first place, was to be on guard with the sheep. So when this person comes and arrives and says to them, "Do not be afraid," I bet they were still afraid. I bet they still had deep fear inside. And then when this stranger, this angel, this messenger says to them, "I bring you good news to all the people," well, all we know is that they talked to each other. We don't know what they really said. But then we're told they went with haste to go see for themselves. I imagine shepherds as those kind of folks. Not the image that we saw of scholars sitting around trying to convince one another, but let's just go see, and then we'll know for sure. That's the kind of image that I have of what these shepherds might be, the kind of image we might need to try on if we're to test out this role for ourselves. See, it'll mean that we're going to have to be open to strangers coming to us in the middle of our workday or our work night and saying, "I have some good news. Don't be afraid." That's a word that a lot of us might need to hear in the middle of our workday. I have some good news. Don't be afraid. Partly, I just wonder if we could even just stop there. Don't be afraid. If that might be enough for us to hear from the angels. There's something about the angels that I kept coming back to this week. In the way that they call to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid." And they go with haste to this place to see this child. One biblical scholar described it in this way. This was hard for me to get my head around. The biblical scholar described it this way. The fields where these shepherds are working, these are the most violent places in biblical times. So the angels choose to show up to folks who are in a very violent area, to folks that are notorious for getting caught up in that violence. That's a different image of a shepherd than the one that I came to early this week. See, the way this person describes it, when the angels say, "On earth, peace among those whom God favors," this is enormous. Because the angel is showing up at the place where everyone thinks there is no peace there. It's an unstable, violent place. You don't go there. We hear about it later in Luke. In Luke 10, we hear the story of the Good Samaritan. You want to stay away from these rural areas where folks get caught up in violence. And it's there that the angels go to bring the good news of God's birth, God's peace, God's hope. And certainly it echoes of the story of David. David, who before going on to become king, started out as a shepherd. So over and over, this image in Luke invites us to turn our understandings upside down. It's far from a fairy tale image. It's as earthy as you can possibly get. Shepherds and animals working a field at night. And it's in that that the shepherds go from the background to the center stage. Folks pushed to the edge have the light shine upon them. If you've ever been to a birth, the last thing that the family who's just given birth wants is someone that's a little sketchy to come into the room, right? I think about it when Eleanor was born and we stayed at the hospital for a couple of days. And can you imagine your child is just born. Yep, bring in the folks that work out in the fields at night. That's who I want to come and visit my newborn baby. No, we were like really concerned about who is going to be able to come in the room when Eleanor was born. Wait, what germs are we going to bring? What do we have in this time? Well, the news that we hear in this story is that God sends the shepherds, the one who are working with the sheep out in the middle of the night, to come and visit this child as its firstborn. See, I'm thinking about, like, do we have the vaporizer? Is everything ready to go? Sarah would not allow these folks to come in that door, and I would be right behind her. Remember when we talked about Joseph last week? This is not an okay thing to bring folks in. That's where my tendency would go when I read this story. But these are the folks that God appears to, that God sends to say, go and see this child. And what I wonder is this, if you're the family who there wasn't room as you came back and you gave birth in this small little room like we talked about last week where a peasant family would have lived, and then you're lying your child in a feeding trough in that space, like maybe it's actually the shepherds that you needed to come and visit you. Because think of the judgment everybody else would bring if you were that family, that this is all you offer your child. And yet somehow the shepherds come to this space to just say, yes. Like there's no pretense to a shepherd. They've already been relegated to the fields that nobody wants to spend time with them. So for this to be the person that comes to be with the baby, it might just be that they're the only ones that could face that truth, that reality, that that's where God chose to be born, to come into the world. Martin Luther describes it this way. The shepherds were in the field under the canopy of heaven, and not in houses, showing that they do not hold fast and cling to temporal things. And besides being in the fields by night, they are despised by and unknown to the world which sleeps in the night, and by day delights so to walk that it may be noticed. But the poor shepherds go about their work at night. They represent the lowly who live on earth, often despised and unnoticed, but dwelling under the protection of heaven. They eagerly desire the gospel, the good news. So some of us this week might need to try on the role of the angels. Can you imagine showing up to someone who sees you as a stranger and just saying to them, do not be afraid, and just waiting there? Not that you have the next phrase ready, but just trying that on. Do not be afraid. Good news of great joy to all the people. Did you catch that last part? To all the people. See, this is maybe the strongest image that we could possibly have. God showing up in the form of a messenger to shepherds on the outskirts to say good news to all the people who God favors, and we're told right before who God favors, all the people. Maybe we know of folks in our own life who need to hear that good news. Maybe that's what it'll look like this week, to be an angel to that person. Desmond Tutu, who's an archbishop, was an archbishop in South Africa, he describes it this way. If you are neutral in situations of injustice, you have chosen to side with the oppressor. If an elephant has its foot on the tail of a mouse, and you say that you're neutral, the mouse will not appreciate your neutrality. See, God's love is for all people, and for God's love to be with all people, God has to show up first to the shepherds, the ones that are going to be the last to get the good news in the order of Caesar. They received the good news first. See, and it would have come to them, this image of peace. It was clear to everyone that we're living in a time of peace. It's called Roman imperial peace. We're not at war, we're at peace. But this messenger shows up to say that the peace that God has is something more, something bigger, something deeper than any kind of peace you've ever imagined. It's the peace that's born as a fragile baby and laying there in that manger. See, God's love for all people compels God to announce that to the shepherds first. Maybe for some of us to try on that role, we'll actually need to spend some time this week reflecting on who the shepherds are in our day. Who are the folks who are working at night so that we can sleep gently? Who are the folks in our society that are doing that work that no one wants to do so that we rest assured? It might actually take settling into some relationships with folks that'll be uncomfortable. I imagine when the shepherds showed up to visit that child, I just wonder what the conversation was really like. Those are awkward conversations anyways when you've had a newborn baby, because you're not quite sure everything is just real. It's just authentic, and this is all we've got. We're tired. We don't have any more energy. We're just here. And there's something about shepherds that just, they don't have that pretense. So we'll need to settle into who are those folks in our lives. And in that, we'll need to move from the background to the center, because the shepherds then tell the story of what happened to them. And shepherds, I don't think, are really known for saying much, so this might be good news for some of us. If we're going to try on this role, like the shepherds, we might not have the most beautiful poetry to share the story with. But if we share it true and real, what's in our heart, that might just be our calling this day, maybe every day. For me, this story takes me into two different challenging places. The first one is this, that God's news of hope is spoken to folks who are marginalized, who are out on the edges. And so the call for me is to really reflect on, how am I in relationship with people who I see as other? And what do I do about that? And then the second call for me that's become more real as I've reflected on this week is, when those extras show up, if you're the supporting person or the lead, Mary, and those extras, those folks from the fields, show up to your home, what do you do about it? How do you welcome them? Maybe that's our question as we move towards Christmas. For some of us, it's hardest. For me, it can often be hardest not to welcome the folks who I other outside, but to welcome the folks who are in my own immediate family. Like, what do I do or say? how do I sit with that uncomfortable presence of somebody that, you know, I want them to be different? Because I suspect that that's what the people wanted about those shepherds. Well, they could show up if. Well, they could be in the room, but. And maybe you have folks like that in your own life. And maybe some of them will be with you this coming week. Christmas means a lot of things. One of them is a reminder of family and the challenges of expressing God's love with those we love most dear but don't know how to. See, this for me is a story of extras in both and kind of a way. How do I connect with those outside, and how do I stay deep and true to God's love for those who I want to love in my own life? I want to close with a prayer. It's a poem by Ted Loader that has been helpful for me this week as I've reflected on what it might be like to be a shepherd this coming week, to both notice the shepherds in the world around us and to wonder about how I might welcome those folks in my own life. Lord, give me courage to confront myself honestly, to shuck the pretense, strip to the real, to act justly with those close to me, advocate justice for those at some remove, to work to heal what is injured in my life and to celebrate the wondrous rest. God, lead me in the narrow way of trust, for wide is the way of distrust. Painful the destruction it twists to. Lighten the baggage I load on myself and others. When I behave as though I were sure of my choices than I am or can ever be. Ease my anxiety about being wrong or exposed as a fool. For I am always at least a little of both, and all the more when I deny I am either. Deepen my trust that together we can unravel the snarls of my life, the knots I tie myself into, that so relieved I might help untie the knots I tie others into. Then go with me into awe or ache so deep I'm forced to sort out what matters and to be buoyed by it in this illusion-flooded world. Empower me to be a bold participant rather than a timid saint in the waiting in the difficult ordinariness of now. To exercise the authority of honesty rather than to defer to power or deceive to get it. To influence someone for justice rather than impress anyone for gain. And by grace, to find treasures of joy, of friendship, of peace, hidden in the fields of the daily you give me to plow. May it be now and evermore. Amen.
Come.